All right, and I'm back with the voodoo doctor himself.
Dude, yeah,
I
don't know how good I feel about making light of all the voodoo on that episode. I might have to go back and edit some of that. Now, come on. What a trip. What a character.
She's cool, man. And, you know, she carried a little pistol with her, which I didn't mention. You know, she was out there, dude. She went for it. She didn't take any guff. I love that about her, man. So I had teased the one bit that I'm saving for this, and might as well just get right to it. So,
Give me the sizzle, man. Give me the juice here.
Yeah.
What's going on?
So she's in Haiti and she's learning all the ins and outs of voodoo. And she's hearing a lot about zombies. And Haiti people at that time, especially, people believed in zombies. This is a thing.
All right.
And typically it would be how it worked was, I think it's called a boka. A boka would be like a voodoo doctor who is under, there's two loas or gods who you could fall under. And one was, they were both a little bit gray, but one was sort of bad and one was good. Right. And if you went under the bad one, whose name is Rata, and you became a boka under Rata, what you might do is you would basically suck the soul out of a person and turn them into your zombie. And usually how you did this is you would suck the soul out of them. They wouldn't have a soul. Then they would die and you would be in magical control of them and you would dig them up after they had been buried.
Oh, wow. Right? It's like having an intern.
Yeah, right. And then you would put them to work for you in the cane fields. And this was a perfect system because, well, if it ever happened, it would be a perfect system because nobody even knew that this person was out there, right? Nobody's looking for them. They've been buried.
Right.
Ooh, so you'd have them out working and they don't have all their cognitive ability. They'll just do whatever you tell them to do, right?
Right. Like an intern.
Yeah, right. Exactly. We're seeking interns. So
yeah, we might be looking for an Art of Darkness zombie at some point. Yeah, to help.
This company's call like there are certain positions like you can be an IT rock star. You can.
I like that this show is going to be both the thing that lands us in court and the thing that is presented in court.
The
case against us.
Right. Mm. So anyway, so Zora's in Haiti and she hears from a friend that connection she's made, like, Zora, there is a zombie at this hospital right now. You've got to come see this, right? Mm. So she shoots down there and she takes she meets this zombie. It's a woman who is clearly terrified and unable to really communicate, and her eyes look odd. They're like covered in white and her mouth is covered in white and she's in rags and she's, you know, freaked out but insensible. And it turns out, and Zora takes a photo of her, and this is on the Twitter if you scroll through. I'll even retweet it so it's fresh at the top. They take a photo. Zora takes a photo of this woman who, and this is the only photo of a quote unquote zombie, like having the only photo of Bigfoot, right?
Wow.
Now, okay, whatever. Maybe this woman's just got a disease or something. Like, what's the big deal? Like, there's plenty of people out there. I live near Detroit. I can go downtown and find an insensate person who you can't communicate with, right? Sure. Give me 2 hours.
Yeah, go to any graduate program in creative writing.
Right. So what's the big deal? Well, here's the big deal. It's 1937 when this happens. They had found this zombie 1937 naked, wandering in the road in front of this farm, saying, "This is my father's farm. This is my father's farm." The family at the farm comes out, identifies her, says, the guy who owns the farm says, "That's my mother."
Whoa.
Right? Because now it's been handed down. The farm's been handed down generations. This is my mother. His mother had been buried in 1907.
What?
Everybody in the family identified her as this woman. And she had been buried, and there were apparently records of her having been buried in 1937.
Get out.
Yes.
Wow. That is so, why you subscribe to the Patreon.
That's right. That's right. So Zora Neale Hurston, after that, before that, we didn't know what to make of the whole zombie thing. Folklore, the lines are blurred. After that, she believed in zombies.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's the dark arts. That's the literal dark arts right there, right?
Holy
moly. And the picture is kind of haunting. Yeah, I'll retweet it. It's unsettling.
Well, that is the first zombie that we've had on Art of Darkness.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That's an interesting.
Yes.
Yeah. Maybe will it be the last? I don't know.
It might be. Yeah.
Zombies are interesting because they're kind of uniquely new world, aren't they? Or I mean, is there kind of like an old? I mean, I suppose you know you have vampires and things.
Yeah. I'm not sure. I mean, it comes up in voodoo, but I don't know if it's like a borrowed because there's suggestion that a lot of voodoo is carryover from Africa. And folk religions.
Well, of course.
So, you know, did it exist in that? And there were some people who claimed that what the zombie was is you actually, you poisoned a person with an actual substance of some kind. It lowered their vitals to the point where they appeared dead. They would be then buried because everybody thought they were dead. And then they would gradually come back to life, but wouldn't have all of their faculties.
You know, it occurs to me we neglected to include our typical what would Zora be doing now? We neglected, but that's fine. We'll do it right now on the Patreon. Yeah. What do you think she would be doing now?
I don't know. I think she wanted to lean harder into the theater, but thought it too difficult to pull off. Like, didn't have enough support to do it the way that she wanted to do it. So I kind of wonder if she would have eventually figured out how to make it work. It's kind of what she'd be writing still. She would have put together some crazy novel about the history of something or other, but told in like diasporic Black culture vernacular. And she would probably be putting on plays, I think. Yeah. Or she might have, you know, finally gone and found her magical city full of treasure in Central America. You never know. Yeah.
She had a hard time with the fellas too, didn't she?
She did, yeah.
She was probably a bit too much. I mean, she does seem like she was pretty intense.
Her early relationships, and when you're young, a lot of people do this, her early relationships where she was way too career focused for them. Then later on it was sort of like, well, now she's like this independent woman who's been doing her own thing for years, and now like this guy wants to like turn into a homemaker.
Was she ever really going to end up being head of the folklore or the anthropology department at Columbia? I don't think so.
She was too wild for that, you know? So wasn't going to happen either. She was never, she couldn't be held down in one place for long enough, like both geographically and like in her head, you know, to do that.
Yeah.
And,
I mean, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think that's also why she didn't write another great novel. I think she was a little too wild. Because it's a hard thing to do, to write a novel, you know? You got to sit down every day for a long time.
It wasn't clear to me in the episode. How was the novel received when it came out?
Oh, yeah. Their Eyes Were Watching God was really well reviewed. It didn't, you know, it was one of those things. It didn't sell huge, but it was fairly well acclaimed. And a couple of her other books were too, including her autobiography was really well received. Her last published novel is called Seraph of the Sewanee, which was all about a white family. For whatever that's worth. And that was also really well reviewed, but didn't bring in a ton of money. So, you know, I don't know if acclaimed is maybe too strong of a word, but critically recognized for sure. Yeah.
Huh. Yeah. Fascinating. And then this falling out she had with, was it Hughes?
Yeah. Langston Hughes. Yeah.
Yeah. Were they weren't romantic, were they?
Well, it's tricky. There's no strict evidence that there were, but they spent a lot of time together, and they had gone once on like a 3-month road trip from Alabama to New York together. And you know, you got to think they were two of the leading lights of this new Negro movement, you know, and he was a fairly good looking guy, and she's this, you know, charismatic. So it's kind of hard to imagine that they wouldn't have a little bit, but who knows?
Yeah. Fascinating. Well, and what was your experience like researching her and sort of doing the work of preparing the episode?
It was one of these things. I kept just getting deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into it, you know, and I found myself more enthusiastic about her than I thought. I'd picked it out as like one to do as like a, not maybe the subject I was most interested in doing, let's say, but just as like, well, this will be a different flavor for the show, right? Yeah, this is a different, like, we're going to go to Harlem Renaissance. We're going to,
Right. Like, I mean, I didn't know what to expect from it myself. Yeah.
And then as I'm reading, I'm like, holy shit, like zombies and like, and then also the academia thing. Like, I didn't expect her to be like working for, I knew a little bit about the folklore thing. I didn't expect her to be the student of like the most famous anthropologist in the world, like,
right?
Yeah, there were things happening there that I did not expect.
It's another one of those episodes where I just go, are we doing the wrong thing by sort of languishing with a podcast? I mean, should we just be knocking on the door of some famous academic at wherever and going, I want to do this. It does seem like the world has sort of been put on lock. So much more now. Yeah. All the credentials matter so much more than they used to somehow.
Yeah, for sure. She organized a drama school at a college, and she didn't have an advanced degree.
Sure, right.
You couldn't do that now.
Right, right. Just on based on her reputation and on her ability to sort of charm. Fascinating. Yeah. No, right. You'd have to have. Yeah. You have to have your papers.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, man. So yeah. Let's maybe try to wrap this up a little bit. So who we got next?
Oh yeah. Right. Well, I'm doing Disney with the great Blauergeist, personality, internet. It's going to be a banger.
Yeah.
We're going to really focus on the darker, weirder side of Disney.
Cool.
I can't wait to do that.
Yes.
You did a bang up job with this one. I did not expect there to be a voodoo doctor, 69 hour ritual, the zombie priestess connection with the Harlem Renaissance. But I guess it makes sense. I've had some crazy nights in New York City. It can get real weird, real weird.
right.
What about you? Who do you have coming up?
I'm going to do, Frank Herbert, the author of Dune.
Oh, dang. Yeah. Wow. When is that coming up in November? Do we have that booked?
Yeah. I don't know if we got it booked. We'll talk about it, but that's what I'm doing. So,
oh man,
you know, it'd be cool.
That's going to be amazing. Yeah. Wow. That's the first time that registered with me.
So
I'm really excited. Man. And then we're going to do Bill Hicks. We got so many exciting episodes coming up. And if you're listening and you're a Patreon supporter, you enjoy the show, we want to hear from you. Find us on Twitter, find us on Patreon, and, you know, suggest episodes. We're going to have no limit to this. There's so many tens of thousands of interesting people.
As Andy Warhol said, in the future, everyone will be the subject of an Art of Darkness episode.
We're not going to top that, Brad. Have a good night.
Yeah, you too, man.
With Warhol next year.
There we go. Yeah.
All right, buddy.